Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, from industry to education, work to play, seemingly overnight, we were forced apart and online in 2020 thanks to the pandemic. Rhetoric around this new normal carried negative connotations for a while, but perhaps unfairly so, because it did at least challenge thinking and encourage the world to pivot and innovate. So we went from emergency mode to uncovering opportunities. What might be next? Or the next step in this evolution? For more insights, we speak to Raghulan Pathy, Head of Enterprise for APEC at Zoom. Raghulan, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Howie.
I think more so than anyone, crazy times for Zoom that last year's been, hasn't it?
It was certainly a dramatic year for us. I think it was a dramatic year for the world, but we're glad to have been able to help so many communities and people and companies through the pandemic and the rapid changes of the last year.
Let's start with businesses. I mean, did businesses need to have their processes looked at, beefed up during this time and as we look forward to 2021 and hopefully recovery?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think in 2020, we saw this dramatic situation where businesses had to change their operating model almost overnight. And this is everything from a small business all the way through to governments and the largest banks in the world and the largest corporations in the world, right? So I think some of the changes were dramatic, from basically in-person meetings and, you know, flying around the world to see customers and clients and colleagues to completely virtual. And as we move into 2021, what we see is a move to a hybrid environment. I don't think for most businesses we'll go back 100% to the way it was before, but I think there'll be this new normal, which will be a hybrid of virtual as well as in-person.
Security been put back into the spotlight because of privacy issues as well, right?
Yep, absolutely. And privacy and security is our number one job at Zoom, because we need the trust of our users and the companies that rely on us.
How have you helped other businesses who maybe don't have that digital backbone yet to access you to help them out, say in the region as well?
Yeah, so we work with a lot of companies. I would say it's a mix. So for the smaller businesses, we have a lot of online guides, and you know, we do have customer success teams, but it's largely a self-service platform. When you get to the larger end of businesses, the ones such as banks, which have very stringent sort of regulatory requirements, for example, or other large corporations and governments, we have teams that work with them to set up Zoom in the right way that it can be used in their company, integrated, secure, scalable, so all of their employees and customers will have access to Zoom.
Was it much the same, say, in the education sector? And that was the other area that was greatly hit by the pandemic and this need to work from home and home-based learning as well.
Yes, absolutely. And the education sector is one of our strongest verticals. We have over 90,000 schools globally that rely on Zoom for education. Here in Singapore, we have the MOE is using Zoom with over 45,000 teachers relying upon Zoom to actually do home education. As many would know, it's sometimes been home only. I think there's a hybrid place now. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in the longer term. I think there will be some sort of hybrid potentially into the future in the long term as well. We've also seen a number of MOEs around the world, Los Angeles and New York and New South Wales and Australia and Israel and many others that have actually started using Zoom as well. So there's a lot of innovation, I think, in the education space around what does this mean, future of learning.
And there were gaps initially at the start of the pandemic, I suppose, when it was forced that everyone had to head home. Has it closed so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I think initially when, certainly here in Singapore, when people had to go and study from home, it was almost an overnight decision, right? I think it was a very short period of time. So the transition is very difficult. Not all schools, not all parents have access to laptops or iPads or other means through which you can do it. Also, just in terms of practical terms, for people who have kids, if you've got your parents working from home and the kids studying from home, like how do you separate which rooms do you practically have so that people can run multiples at the same time? So I think a lot of those practicalities were difficult initially, which I think households have figured it out. Plus, I think there was a boom in terms of peripheral sales, so that people actually had enough devices so they could all log in.
Yeah.
In terms of security, we worked very closely with the MOE, and we worked very closely with schools to make sure that they've got the right setup so that children are studying in a safe environment. It is very different from when you go to a school where everyone is in a classroom and it's very controlled, to suddenly you've got 20 kids in a class, they're 20 different homes they're dialing in from.
Right? Yeah.
So we work very closely with MOE so that the experience is rich, and at the same time that we maintain the security of the students who are studying.
Raghulan, how did you folks at Zoom cope? Have you slept at all for 2020?
I think my ambition for 2021 is definitely to sleep a bit more than I did in 20. No, I'm very proud of the teams. We had a relatively small team here, which is we've significantly scaled since in Singapore. So, and we also support a large part of the Southeast Asian region from Singapore as well. We actually invested in a data center here in Singapore so we can be closer to our users. But you know, it was a big task for the team at Zoom. You know, when you're seeing such multiples of growth within the region, and we became the people that businesses and schools and hospitals and small businesses all relied on. So the team really went far to work extraordinary amounts of hours to ensure that we could help businesses help their people and their customers. So I'm very proud of the team for what they did. But yes, certainly do look forward to more sleep in 2020.
Speaking of healthcare, though, the healthcare sector, do you think that's ready for telehealth to continue functioning?
I think what you would see is that there was a big acceleration in terms of the usage of Zoom within telehealth. I would say that a lot of these trends were already in place. So they're not entirely new, but like a lot of things during 2020.
It was so sped up.
Yeah, and you've seen a great acceleration of digitization. You know, I think sometimes people were conservative, you know, and not just healthcare, I'm talking more broadly, where, you know, can we do this regularly? And I think when you're left with no choice, I think it's been proven that actually you can do a lot of things like telehealth, for, not for all situations, but for a lot of situations, just fine. Over a virtual platform like Zoom. So I think when we go back to the new norm, you'll see a lot of people embracing, like I said, a hybrid. Maybe you'll get an option. Do you want to do this appointment from home, or do you want to come into the clinic itself? And I think also the consideration of safety for our frontline workers is also really important. And so sometimes they might say, look, we'll do the initial consult from home, rather than, coming into the hospital or into the clinic.
You talked a bit about the larger organizations and particularly the financial sector, though. How will your platform continue to play a key role there?
Yeah, the financial services sector, along with healthcare and education, is one of our strongest verticals. We have very significant companies globally, including the likes of HSBC. Actually, many of the global banks are on Zoom, and many of the banks in region as well. And I think it's interesting for them because it's been traditionally an industry with a lot of knowledge workers, people who come into offices. And what we're seeing within this industry is they're coming back into the office, but much more in a hybrid format. I think it also has shown to the financial services industry opportunities in terms of hiring, for example. Maybe you don't have to be fixated on people in certain locations. Maybe if people can work remotely, either full-time or part-time, it may open up a new part of the workforce for you. I think it also provides a great opportunity to hire people that needed more flexibility. For example, working mothers who may not be able to traditionally go into the office 5 times a week, but could, for example, go in a couple of times a week. So I think for the financial services industry, we're seeing that they're really opening their eyes to run working from home to actually it might be possible. And so how do we do that in the future?
Is there a backup plan, so to speak, if, say, so much has been said about the new normal and this hybrid way of working and living? What if we went back to the old normal, so to speak, where less of this is done? Is there a backup plan that Zoom might have?
Even if people go back into the offices, you know, we're seeing a surge, for example, in peripheral, so in what people are buying in terms of hardware, to actually use Zoom for meeting rooms, for example. So there is this plan to uplift the workplace as well. So traditionally, if you go into a workplace, maybe only some of them would be enabled for video conferencing. Now, yeah. I think the norm will be that every meeting will be a combination of in-person and video conferencing. So even if they're back at the office, we're seeing a surge in interest of people wanting to fit out all their meeting rooms with video conferencing. Zoom also has a number of other products, including Zoom Phone. With Zoom Phone, we crossed the 1 million paid user mark a couple of weeks back, which we announced. And Zoom Phone really is another product that builds on our broader Zoom platform, but allows people to use a phone service from Zoom. I'm simplifying a little bit, but essentially, yeah, it's a phone service from Zoom. We also have other things such as Zoom apps, so the ability to build apps on top of Zoom as well. Mm. So I think you're going to see a whole wave of innovation. I would say that, you know, 2020 was the year of an acceleration of digital trends, things that were already in place.
Yeah.
And I think in 2021 and 2022, you're going to see innovation around, hybrid working and working virtually, et cetera.
Do you see other sectors that maybe the platform can make a difference in?
I think any sector that has a large amount of knowledge workers, and I think also what you're going to see is that businesses that traditionally would have had to require a lot of travel will probably reconsider how much travel they actually need, which is great for the environment. I personally used to travel quite a lot extensively, so I'm looking forward to a less rigorous travel schedule when it comes back. Because I think it's greatly accepted that you can do most meetings, which had to be in person. Just think how much business is done where people are flying around the world, that it could be done over video conferencing now.
Raghulan, thank you so much for your time and your insights.
No problem. So it's nice to be with you and thank you for your time.
Raghulan Pathy, Head of Enterprise APEC for Zoom. This is Mind Your Business on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.